Now's the time to find your color, your paint, and everything to get started during Red, White, and Blue Savings at the Home Depot. Transforming your room is easier than ever. With the best deals online and in-store, you can confidently select your color and the tools for your next paint project. Get a colorful new experience and the right paint for the right price. Save $10 on 1 gallon and $40 off 3 and 5 gallons for a limited time only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Limit 25 gallons per household. See store for details.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight? What?
Take your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape!
At the Movies on BFM 89.9.
I'm Uma Pagan, I'm PK Pagan, and joining me today is my friend and film producer, Leon Tan. We're going to be talking a little bit about, the fiasco behind Beauty and the Beast, but also censorship in general. Leon, I think the biggest question for me, right, when this whole Beauty and the Beast thing happened, there were two questions. One, and this is something that I don't have an answer for. Are we forcing Malaysians to grow up too quickly, in that sometimes our authorities are hyper cautious and they try to cater for the masses. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, for better or for worse, the masses are still incredibly conservative when it comes to things and questions of homosexuality, sex, religion, these sorts of things. And I think about America, mm-hmm. and I think, yeah, they barely got here 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Under the Obama administration. And now they seem to be doing a complete about turn mm-hmm. with Donald Trump.
Back to the Stone Age.
Correct. Yeah. And I'm thinking, over here, we're at least a couple of decades behind that.
Well, if you want me to talk about censorship, the first thing I'll always say is that I don't think government or any authority should have a decision on what we watch.
Oh, that goes without saying. Yeah. Absolutely.
Therefore, right? Censorship is a tool to sort of say we know better and we want to safeguard your moral whatever, which I think it's nonsense.
The nanny state. Yeah.
The nanny state, but I think it's nonsense. You know, I think the decision should be made by the viewer. That said, I mean, producers today in studios, and when they commit, you know, millions of dollars into production, they think about the makeup of their demographic. And interestingly, they respond to it, you know. So if they know they're hitting a conservative demographic, it's a family movie or whatever, they accordingly address it. I'll give you an example. Did you know that there were at least two, if not three, versions of Mad Max Fury Road? I didn't notice it because in France, I saw nudity and so forth. But when I came to Malaysia and I saw Mad Max again, I realized certain scenes were reshot, literally reshot, in order to cater to more conservative society.
Well, I'll give you another example, a more recent example, the remake of Ben-Hur.
Oh, right.
The version we got here in Malaysia was the Middle Eastern version.
Right, which is like no
which
Jesus Christ.
Which is a completely
kind of, no Christianity.
Different version. Well, yes, not just no Jesus Christ, but also the ending was completely different.
Right.
So the ending we got, he forgives his brother, and they kind of move on.
Oh,
right?
Really? Oh, wow.
But the ending overseas, he witnesses the crucifixion.
Right. Which wouldn't go well with Middle Eastern audiences.
And I think we actually have an explicit law that you're not allowed to show any prophet.
Right.
From Islam, from Christianity, etc.
Yeah.
So they knew it wouldn't work here. And so the studio actually made the decision to have two different cuts.
Yep. And it's increasingly like this. So we are even having the producers and the studios making these decisions to reach those demographics they want. Because actually, ironically, it's commercial. They are commercial decisions which cater to the cultural sensitivities. So you don't really need a nanny state to decide, you know? They're already doing it.
That's the scary thing,
They're already shooting it in production for that. Forget censorship or clever editing. They reshoot scenes for specific markets. And that's partly because, I suppose, China, which is still a fairly conservative market that they want to address.
And where all the money is.
Where the money is, both in terms of the tickets and the investment. So when this when I see things like this happen with Beauty and the Beast, I feel we're so archaic. So, you know, Paleolithic, whatever. You know, we're in the, not even the Stone Age, man. I think we're Cambrian, you know. We're like climbing out of the primordial soup. I feel so silly that we do this thing.
That's the reason I wanted to have this conversation with you, because a lot of time when things like this happen, I'm always curious as to the reasons. I'm trying to get into the mindset of the authorities or the people sitting on the LPF when they have to make these decisions, because, you know, you put the righteous rage aside. I look beyond my own liberalism, which sometimes can cloud how we think, right? Because I know, you know, I'm against censorship. I think we should make those decisions. I think we're rational human beings. If we don't like something, don't watch la.
Yeah.
And you're right. I think it's a very archaic notion. Does that concern you that if it's happening at a studio level, that it actually is slightly more dangerous?
I think it still comes back to the viewer. The viewer can watch it and go, huh, they played it safe.
Well, let me tell you, I want a copy of that European Mad Max with nudity now.
Right. Yeah, yeah, there was. There were actually a couple of scenes which had nudity. When the lady was being bait in the third act of the film, that is, she's obviously naked in the, I guess, the European American versions. But out here, she was clothed. And it was not CG. It was definitely reshot. Things like that. Or some violent scenes were actually shot in a different angle and it kind of made it less violent, I guess. So I personally think it comes back to the viewer. The viewer can decide whether they watch something they liked or didn't like. Look, they also have access to edgier stuff if they want to watch. You can see R-rated, they can see art house, you know.
Well, these days that access is just openly and readily available.
Oh, yeah. It's even on Netflix you can watch it.
Exactly.
Even that kind of stuff. So I guess, again, I actually still believe the viewers get a choice. They still do. If they don't want to support Beauty and the Beast because there's elements of, gay relationships which they don't like, they will, quote-unquote, punish Disney by not watching it. They could if they want. So I still think they have that power. We don't need a government or an authority to tell us what to watch and what not to watch. If anything else, it allows Disney, like it has today, to punish us.
And to take a moral stand.
Right, and to take a moral stand by saying, hey, we are not going to screen it in Malaysia, so we look stupid now. You know?
Yeah, which is a very cunning corporate play on Disney's
part.
Absolutely,
yeah. And we're not in their top 50 or 30 top markets anyway. But here's an interesting thing. If the Chinese government had made...
I was just about to say.
Oh, they're going to censor. Yeah. Are they going to say, yeah, we're going to... Yeah, I'm sure.
Correct. That was the first thought that went through my mind. Yeah, Beauty and the Beast was one of those limited Hollywood movies that makes it into China, I'd be curious to see what Disney and how Disney responds to China if they say, nah, you got to cut that scene.
Oh, of course they say, yep. Yeah, they will, yeah. So you see, it comes back to money. It's nothing to do with a moral stand.
It does.
You know? But you've given them a chance to do a moral stand
correct.
For Malaysia, which makes
us
look...
That's what is almost so disconcerting. Because when you address issues like this, we always take the moral and ethical stand. But of course, we're dealing with corporations who have huge bottom lines and who have just invested, what, $150 million in this sort of movie. And
expecting 120 million opening worldwide.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. And they'll most likely get it.
Probably. Yeah.
And yet this much ado about nothing becomes the focus of the conversation.
Gosh, you know what? They're probably using this now in Hollywood to market the film in other countries.
I have no doubt. I mean, it's a variety. Malaysia's, it's in Hollywood Reporter.
Yeah, Conservative Malaysia said no to us. And hey, you know, that means you should watch it, you know? I even read some on Facebook just the other day, a friend of mine saying, hey, why don't you boost Singapore's economy and Malaysians come down to watch Beauty and the Beast in Singapore? You know, we just look so dumb, you know, in these kind of scenarios.
And also, I think in this particular scenario, it's quite interesting because, you know, our censorship in Malaysia, especially of Hollywood films, is incredibly arbitrary in that it's so dependent on the audience. It's so dependent on the type of film, whether it's a mass appeal film or whether it's an art house film. Mm-hmm. Remember back in the day, Django Unchained, no cuts, zero cuts, right? But they figured it's a Bangsa elite audience that's going to watch it and they're infidels anyway, right? So we've lost them. It's okay lah. They can see some nudity and some cursing and some violence, right?
Yeah, 10 guys get off,
Exactly, exactly. Sure. When a movie generates this much noise in the media, when the Bishop in Singapore issues a warning to all Christians saying, you know, advise your children before watching Beauty and the Beast. When Russia slaps a 16 rating on it, I think there is also that noise that influences the decision on how many cuts take place.
I think at the end of the day, I believe the best solution would be LPF would actually have taken a very smart ground by giving it like what Russia did. You know, maybe not PG-13, PG-15 or whatever, and say, parents, advise your children under 15, we're going to watch something funky, right? But we'll be there, you know? And in the end, Disney gets to release it, and it's win-win. And Malaysia comes out looking, you know, fairly progressive, you know?
Fairly,
yeah. I think that would have been the best approach as opposed to, you know, the very archaic notion of please remove these scenes, which, interestingly, from as far back as 2012 when I released my film, I found that LPF, they don't censor anymore. They just ask the producers to do the right thing, you know? They give you the time code and, you know, do what you need to do aesthetically so it doesn't look like a jump, you know? And we do it if we wish in order to get the release. So I think it's interesting that they're doing that now as opposed to those brutal cuts they used to do. But at the same time, they need a bit more of a, they're sparring with the studios, you know? They're not really, it's not the audience here. They're sparring the studios, so they need to apply more intelligent ways of engaging them, I think. Because in this case, they're lost. And Disney looks smart about it, yeah.
This Much Ado About Nothing, of course, gives rise to a much bigger conversation. Mm. You know, what happens with Disney and our audience, we make up what? We probably will bring in 5-10 million for Disney, right? Out of hundreds and hundreds of millions. Mm-hmm. But this gives rise to a much bigger question regarding censorship in Malaysia and Malaysian productions. And I think this is what frustrates a lot of filmmakers. And not that I'm saying that there needs to be sex cursing and violence in all films, but I think filmmakers feel stifled that they can't tell the story they want to in the way that they want to.
Yep.
In however way they feel they should express that story.
Yep. I think we as a group approach our projects with Malaysia being a subset of numerous markets. So we try to, of course, uplift Malaysian talent, whether it's cast, crew, or resources, you know, in what we believe should be an international standard film. So I don't actually think about those stuff. I don't, you know. But at the same time, we also want to have a return on investment. So our initial projects are fairly commercial, so they don't have religious or cultural or whatever, you know, issues, you know, as far as I know. I haven't reached that yet. But I would say that at the end of the day, it still comes back to hopefully having an authority that understands that, you know, you should let the audience decide, you know. And actually, they are kind of progressive. I just watched Logan, right?
That's right.
And I mean, you know, they barely censored any of the language.
A little bit,
which is odd. And we should talk about this offline. But it's odd because they censored some, but not all.
Yes. And it's a weird decision because it felt almost like they had to censor something. Just for the sake of it.
Or maybe
right?
they just knew one swear word. The rest of the swear words, they didn't know.
Okay.
Yeah. So strange. But at the same time, there seemed to have been a way to say, look, we are responding about context, you know. The Big Short was not censored.
That's right.
Man, The Big Short was tough, you know. I mean, it was a brutal dialogue, you know. And context, right? The context worked that they had to say things like that, you know. As far back as V for Vendetta, I remember watching lesbian kissing scenes and massive naked bodies in graves, mass grave scenes. And I remember watching that in the Malaysian cinema and I thought, wow. You know,
they kept the context.
Yeah, they kept the context even at that time. When was V for Vendetta? '90s, maybe?
'90s, yeah.
Crazy. Even then, they were, you know.
I think for me, the problem is when talking about local filmmakers, that when they get stifled, there are so many great stories in Malaysia that never get told.
Right.
And a lot of the time, the reason that never gets told is that, I guess they say, hey, you know, we got to do something that can make us some money as well. We can't live on fresh water and fresh air, right? And so they sacrifice that creative license. They sacrifice that important story. And because they feel they're not allowed to tell it, so they can pump hours of time and hundreds of thousands of ringgit only to be told your movie is banned or your movie is going to be censored or your movie is never going to see the light of day. And I think that's something that is sad, because a lot of great Malaysian stories never get told because they may have elements. They may have elements of religion, or they may have elements of sex, or they may have elements that are just generally uncomfortable to the powers that be.
Right, sure.
And we don't know what that is on any given day.
Right, right. See, the irony of it is that most of these so-called sensitive films are probably going to become not so mass appeal anyway. a good example is our neighbor in Indonesia. You know, Indonesia, right? 95% Muslim, 250 million people. You know, I remember watching a film about a bishop, an archbishop of Indonesia, that was one of the founding fathers of Indonesia with Sukarno. It was a story about him. It was a biographic, and it was actually played by a Muslim actor who was cast to play the bishop. Now, I sit back and I watch this in Indonesia and I go, wow.
And of course, in your head, you're just thinking, are people going to lose their minds?
No, not at all. In fact, it was, I don't know if it was successful because it was a little arthousey, but clearly had no seeming issues from the authorities especially. I'm sure some parts of society would have said this is a bad idea. But you see, now that was a moment of a flash of progressive brilliance that the authorities basically said, yeah, why not? He's a founding father. They weren't even thinking about whether he was Muslim or Christian or whatever, which is great, you know. Try that here. Then it gets interesting, yeah.
Before I let you go, Leon, I'm very curious. Do you remember the first encounter you had watching movies with censorship? I mean, when you realized, as a kid growing up or something, when you thought, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah. I think it was Aliens. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, 1986. I was 15, watching in Cathay Klang, and all these jump cuts were so weird, you know? But it was still a cool film at the time, yeah. So it was much better to see it on some fuzzy video later and go, oh, that's what I missed, yeah.
For me, it was on television, actually, because we were watching movies growing up on TV.
Sure.
And I think it was on RTM or TV3 at the time, and I think there was a kissing scene in Indiana Jones.
Oh, right.
That was cut.
Maybe.
I think it was,
Raiders.
It was Raiders, and I think it was between Marion and Indy.
And Indy in that tanker, right?
In the tanker, yeah. And I think
it's
that
not
was
the years,
cut.
It's the mileage.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And I think, I remember feeling, something's not right there. What happened?
Like something
I was very
happened,
young,
yeah.
But something happened, and I knew something was not
sure,
right.
Sure, sure.
And of course, you get used to that on Malaysian television. If you're watching movies growing up in Malaysia on television, you're used to all of these jump cuts.
Yeah.
And then suddenly when you go overseas and watch movies in cinemas, you're just like, whoa,
God. Actually, you're right. It's interesting. I remember all those censorship moments in Malaysia, but the moments that really got me was when you watched a film without censorship.
Correct.
In a cinema. And I remember that was my first, I was in Australia, I was just made landfall
there. You're looking around you because you're feeling so naughty.
Yeah. And the film was, I can see remember it was Frankie and Johnny, Michelle Pfeiffer and Al Pacino. I think there was a sex scene with Al Pacino and we were watching a sex scene on the big screen for the first time for me. And I was like, wow, everyone's kind of okay with this. And then you start seeing sex scenes on Australian television. And
SBS doesn't count, lah.
Yeah. And you still go, huh. All right. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. Yeah. And that's why I feel that moment in Cinema Paradiso.
Right.
It's one of my favorite moments in all of cinema.
Right.
When he gets that reel of uncensored kisses. And you just see people kissing and kissing and kissing. And I'm just like, wow, that is a great moment in cinema history.
Yeah.
But more so, it speaks to us as Malaysians.
That's a smorgasbord for our LPF, though.
Let me tell you, let me tell you. It's amazing we know how to kiss at all, lah. I'm just saying. Leon, as always, an absolute pleasure having you on the show. Thank you so much.
Thanks, man.
That was filmmaker and producer Leon Tan. The standoff between Disney and our censorship board means no Beauty and the Beast in Malaysia, at least for the foreseeable future. I'm afraid you'll just have to find alternative ways to see the movie. It's only a 4-hour drive to Singapore, right? You've been listening to At The Movies. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Now's the time to find your color, your paint, and everything to get started during red, white, and blue savings at the Home Depot. Transforming your room is easier than ever. With the best deals online and in-store, you can confidently select your color and the tools for your next paint project. Get a colorful new experience and the right paint for the right price. Save $10 on 1 gallon and $40 off 3 and 5 gallons for a limited time only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Limit 25 gallons per household. See store for details.